If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, wrote this letter to the church that was very concerned because some people of that day said that Christ had already returned. Some people were worried because they believed Christ was going to return during their lifetime, and yet people who knew Christ was dying. Asleep in Christ is the terminology that was used. So there was great concern and even some confusion in the church about the return of Christ. So we have this letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that sets the record straight. Amen? Please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're just going to read one verse as we stand. And that is verse 13. And this verse is written to the church, to you and to me, about the return of Christ. And God's Word says to you and to me, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And he continues to write about the return of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, again, we thank you that we're able to publicly worship you and to be in your house, to be in your courts, to be in your presence with your people, with brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great day it is to be able to be here to worship you. And Lord, I ask that you'll speak through this dust, I'm nothing without you, about your return, Lord Jesus, because you are coming back. And Lord, may we receive comfort from it as your people. And you will receive all glory and honor forever and ever, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a video that I would like to show you this morning.
For months, his auto parts company has sat across the road from a billboard sponsored by FamilyRadio.com. But the message meant to be conveyed is not to welcome the start of a new radio station, but to signal the end of the world. Gunther Haringa says it's based on decades of Bible study by Harold Camping, founder of the movement in California, claiming he cracked the biblical code in Genesis to pinpoint dates like the creation of the earth and the great flood of Noah's Ark. It is there that Haringa says the clock began ticking to earth's destruction, incorporating scripture in 2 Peter that states to God a day is like 1,000 years.
We have authority to go back to Genesis 7:4, where he tells Noah in 1 week, you're going to get into the ark with all the animals. And so he's effectively saying in 1 week, a day for a year, 1,000 years for a day, in 7,000 years, you have that length of time which, in order to get into the safety of the ark, which is salvation. As we know, the ark was 4990 B.C., the flood, and that goes all the way to May 21st, actually 2011, precisely.
Furthermore, because according to Scripture, Noah was given that warning on the 17th day of the second month, Haringa says that pinpoints the date to May 21st by the Hebrew lunar calendar. When I challenged him with other scriptures that teach no one knows the hour or day of the return of Christ, Haringa says those scriptures no longer apply since God left the church in 1988. It's a lot to absorb. So is what Haringa claims happens May 21st when a massive worldwide earthquake will throw open graves. The remains of Christians will be joined by those believers still alive for ascent into heaven. For those left behind, 153 days of horror followed by the incineration and recreation of the universe. The movement founders have put all their finances into billboards and RVs to spread the message right up until May 21st. But
what happens May 22nd if you're still here?
Well, that's really kind of like saying, what happens if the Bible is not true?
Did you catch that last sentence? The Bible is not true. Okay? We're warned in Scripture that there'll be scoffers in the last day saying, where is his return? Okay? yesterday evening going through a drive-through with Diana, getting ice cream that Alicia and Rebecca just found out about. Being a pastor in this community, the person at the in the drive-through window knew me and asked me the question about what we just saw, about what do you think about Jesus coming back today? And my answer is the, hopefully is the answer of this passage of Scripture, that we ought to live every day as if he can come back. Every day. And so this is weighed heavy on many hearts and minds. And it was said in our Sunday school class this morning that if Miss Hazel and Miss Winnie are still on earth, we're okay. So we're okay. He didn't come back. So, and seeing many of you still here, you know, he didn't come back yet. But he could come back this second. Okay? So he is coming back. Just as soon as the sun rises every morning, Jesus will come back. In this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he is writing that we would not be ignorant or not knowledgeable about the return of Christ. You and I should be very knowledgeable about Jesus is coming back, and how you and I ought to live in light of his return. And he goes on and writes in verse 14, "For if we believe, or since we believe, that Jesus died and rose again," that's the gospel message, that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again for our justification and salvation, is repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, and believing this gospel message about the Lord Jesus Christ. So since we believe this, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's the Christian term for death. Sleep in Jesus. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Some way or another, I cannot explain it with my finite mind and terminology, but I do know that all born-again believers here on earth, when Jesus comes back, we're going to be able to see him. He's going to step out on a Shekinah glory cloud, and we will be able to see him in his returning and in his glory. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So in his returning, the graves will burst forth, and the new glorified bodies will come forth from the grave when Jesus comes back, and we will be able to see all this taking place. Then, verse 17, "We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Forever and ever and ever we will be with the Lord and be in his presence, his ultimate presence, and we will see him face to face someday. Something better is coming." Amen? It's on his way. Jesus will come back. It is a certainty, and we worship him by faith in light of his return. You see, salvation is more than just coming up to a magic spot in front of the church and saying a little prayer. Salvation is living for the Lord Jesus Christ and living in such a way that we know that he's coming back. Now, the Bible is true. It is true. And just because some said he was coming back yesterday and he didn't come back does not mean the Bible's not true. It means man is a liar and God is true. That's what it means. That's what it means. So it says in verse 18, as we think of all of our loved ones who have gone on before us, and in light of Jesus coming back and those bodies being resurrected, it says, therefore comfort one another with these words. Something better is coming. And that something better is Jesus. Jesus is coming back. We will always be with the Lord in the air. So let us watch and pray. As it continues on in chapter 5, it says in verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. In other words, do not be caught off guard. When does a thief come? When you don't expect him. Because if he thinks you're expecting him, that he's not going to come around. So the Lord's return will be like a thief in the night. Have you ever had something stolen from you? Was you expecting it? No, it was a shocker. A shocker. So he will come unexpectedly. They finally caught the people who were robbing churches. To my understanding in the paper, I believe 23 churches was robbed. And were the churches expected to be robbed? Or were they would have been ready for it, right? So, let's think for just a second. The Lord's return is going to be like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. So we, the church, should not be in a place where we're not expecting him to come. Just like those churches that were not expecting those thieves to rob them or to steal something from them, we the church, the whole church, we should live in such a way that we're expecting him to come. Live to know for sure that Jesus is coming back. So he will come like a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So peace and safety. And I know there's wars and rumors of wars. That's why Jesus said to look up, your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things come to pass. But folks, there is a false teaching in the world today that says that we ought to all get along peacefully and you believe what you believe, then I'll believe what I believe, and as long as we're both sincere, then God bless us all. And then there's peace and safety, but how can someone say peace and prosperity, health and wealth, and just say everything's okay when there's thousands of babies killed every day in the United States? When now, I just read this morning that the majority of Americans believe that same-sex marriage is okay. So is there peace today in the world for the child of God? Is there peace for you and I? No, it's not. It's no peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. So how can we dare say that everything's okay when it's not? And we need to watch and pray and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. No, everything's not okay. But false teaching will say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Dear Amanda, up here. You know, we had a baby up here this morning singing. Singing in the praise team. I like that. But Amanda, let me tell you something. A few months from now, when that baby's on its way. Now, I've never had a baby. I'm not authority on it, okay? Never had one. But I've been there a few times with some of you and with my lovely wife. Let me tell you something. It hurts and it stops. I guess they're called contractions, right? Then a few more moments, another contraction, whatever they're called. I've been there. I've seen it. All right, the point is this. By the time you start clawing your husband or slapping him or whatever, those pains get closer and closer and closer together, that baby's fixing to come. Okay? Church, we are seeing labor pains. This yesterday, that's a labor pain. Because scoffers now will say, well, he didn't come back. Okay? And we're seeing these labor pains, waves raging and earthquakes in diverse places and wars and rumors of wars. And we see these labor pains. Let's don't be caught off guard. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. I don't know when He's coming back. But I do know that you and I should be on guard in such a way, as this Scripture says, as we read on in verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day," speaking of the Lord's return, "should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." So let's not be asleep. Let us be of the light. This word sleep here, that's not talking about death. This is talking about lack of moral alertness. And to be sober means to have self-control, to be temperate. Because we're of the light. What's the light that we have? Right here. Right here. We have the light of God's Word. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." We got His Word. And not only that, we have the very presence of God in our hearts and lives. The light of the world is Jesus. So we have His Word and we have Jesus. So let us not be of darkness, but walk in the light. Be alert. Be sober. And he goes on and tells us in the light of Christ's return to watch and be sober. Verse 7, "For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." So as we are to be sober and be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, we are to have the breastplate of faith and love. Faith, being faithful, committed, devoted. And love. Love God and love one another. This breastplate. And when you think of armor, the soldiers today even wear a body armor that covers their breast, their chest, What's in this part of our bodies? That's the vitals. That's where, I mean, the heart and the lungs and all those organs, vital organs that we cannot live without. And we, as God's people, spiritually speaking, we are to have this breastplate of faith and love. They're vital. Faith and love is vital. We need to guard our heart. Guard our heart. Because if we do not remain sober, if we do not remain in the light of God's Word and in His presence, this old heart can get calloused and we start justifying sin. We start comparing ourselves with each other instead of looking to Jesus. And then we become unfaithful to our first love, Jesus Christ. And also the helmet, which is the hope of salvation. It's not that we hope that we're saved, but it's knowing that hope that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And this helmet of salvation, this is physically speaking, when you cover your head, you're covering your brain, your mind, the way you think. Spiritually speaking, we need to guard our minds. We do that by staying in God's Word. Guarding our mind in light of His return, a breastplate, and to guard our mind. And it goes on and says, for God, verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath. Everyone ought to say hallelujah. Not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, He is the way. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way. He is the way. Who died for us, verse 10, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we are here or in the grave, wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. By the way, to be absent from the body is to be with who? The Lord. Whether wake or asleep, we should live together with Him. Verse 11. Jump back up to verse 18, chapter 4. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, and all that has been said, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Comfort means to encourage. Encourage. And to edify means to encourage in such a way that you are building the person up, holding each other up. Edify, build up one another. Comfort and edify. In other words, encourage one another to don't quit. Don't quit. You may know a family member or a church family member that has been through so much. They may need you to just say an encouraging word. Don't quit. Keep trusting in the Lord. There's a better day coming. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. You know, I am not an authority on sports injuries. Okay? But I have played sports a little bit. And what I have seen, again, I don't know the statistics. I'm not an authority on it. But what I have seen When some injuries occur, it is when a practice is going on and becomes a playtime instead of a strict practice. And their injury may occur. Also have seen when injuries occur is when during the game, like during a football game, and they're so far behind that they have given up hope, or they go out on the field already lost because they have no hope in winning. And when there's no hope of winning, you kind of slack off a little bit and you wind up being injured. Okay, that's my observation. What I'm trying to do here is relate to us spiritually when in light of Christ's return. If you are living your Christian life without devotion and uncommitment, you're living a Christian life without your eyes in the light of Christ and in the light of His Word. If you're not doing that, it'll be very easy for you to get injured. What I mean by that? One little word can cause you to quit. One little happenstance can cause you to give up hope, and you become injured spiritually. And you quit. Or you're out of play. You no longer can play because you have to be on the bench with an injury. So the word today is live as if it could come back this minute. Live tomorrow if He graces you and I with life tomorrow. Live as if He could come back tomorrow. Because He is coming back. If you've been injured, get some medicine. Get in God's Word. Talk to a Christian brother or sister. Talk to a godly person. And talk to somebody that'll encourage you and build you up. Get some medicine. He's coming back. Let's live like it, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You again for Your precious Word and the comfort. Lord, there is comfort when we have Your presence, Lord. And Lord, we love to be with You. And there's comfort in the fact that You're coming back. Something better is on its way. Lord, please encourage this church. There'll be a great falling away. Your Word even says it. Lord, there can be a full house and yet still have been falling away from the true gospel. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to stay true to You. To stay faithful to You, Jesus. Amen.